Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
July 2021 in Hillsboro, North Carolina, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 26, Text 23.
Ityaramam samadisha.
Ityaramam samadisha.
Gargecha svagriham gate.
Gargecha svagriham gate.
Manye narayanasyam tam. Krishnam aklishakarinam. Gate, going, manye, I consider, Narayanasya, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayana, Amsham, an empowered extension, Krishna, Akrista, Karanam, who keeps us free from misery. EBT translation. Nanda Maharaj continued, after Garga Rishi spoke these words to me and returned home, I began to consider that Krishna, who keeps us free from trouble, is actually an expansion of Lord Narayana. This is an EBT purport, Indriya purport, the Tika of Sanatana Goswami. Since I am his father, from that time I consider him to be like Narayana. Iti can indicate that the words of Garga not mentioned were now considered. Nanda became absorbed in Garga's statements, or, though he changed the words Gopya Asa to Tat Karmashu, the meaning was finally the same. His words were the same as Garga's words, Samadisha. By producing faith, he hoped to eliminate their astonishment. There is the other coward men who were astonished that Krishna had lifted Gaurav Hill. Garga spoke and went home. This was concluded long ago, and thus Nanda did not have to worry about the problem now. Shukadeva has also mentioned the same conclusion. Nanda shows his profound nature and sense of deliberation to instill faith in the cowards. Now this is where things get very interesting. Though Krishna was actually superior to Narayana, he is said to be similar, or to be his amsha. To increase affection, his real position of power is hidden. Or I consider him some part of Narayana, or some special great person with similar qualities. Or though he is my son, I think of him as a part of Narayana, respect the words of Garga. Not only out of respect to Garga do I think like this, but I also experience it. Krishna performs astonishing activities without suffering. I wish to cut it up. Ichyada mam samadisha garga chasa drangate manye narayanashyam sam krishnam aklishta karinam.
Nanda Maharaj continued, after Garga Rishi spoke these words to me and returned home, I began to consider that Krishna, who keeps us free from trouble, is actually an expansion of Lord Narayana. So, here it is, Nanda Maharaj, a great authority, pure devotee, and he says that Krishna is an amsa of Narayana. And it's in Bhagavatam. So, it must be correct. This is why we have the science of hermeneutics, to try to understand and explain the words of Shastra, the words of our acharyas, the words of our spiritual master. Vishnuacharya Thakur, in giving his commentary on this verse, says that Nanda Maharaj and the coward men considered Krishna a Shaktivesh avatar of Narayana. like a jiva, like you're in your jiva, who's empowered by the Lord. So are we going to take this particular statement, it's in the Bhagavatam, spoken by Nanda Maharaj, as that this is our understanding of the position of Krishna?
No,
but if we don't, then are we saying that the Bhagavatam is incorrect?
No, because the Bhagavatam says otherwise elsewhere.
The Bhagavatam says otherwise elsewhere, but we could prioritize this verse and say that what the Bhagavatam says otherwise elsewhere should be explained in terms of this verse, couldn't we?
Only if we're motivated for something other than what Prabhupada gave us.
Only if we're motivated for something other than what Prabhupada gave us, Mr. Jones. We have to have Guru, Shastra, and Sadhu. So
also, we have to understand that this is a leela where, Krishna is, or Yogamaya is covering that whole.
Yes, so what Jadarani is saying is we have to understand this is a leela where Yogamaya is covering the residence of Vrindavana. There are some people, even in our International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who say that we should always prioritize the exact literal meaning of Shastra in order to understand it. But that's impossible. Because then you have this verse that's saying Krishna is an Amsa of Narayana, and then you have, of course, in the early part of the Bhagavatam, right? Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam, that all these other manifestations are Amsas, and Krishna's the ultimate understanding. Like Omkar was talking about yesterday, how these four qualities, they exist in Narayana, but they're never manifest by Narayana. They exist, but they have to exist because they're all the same person. We're not polytheists, we're monotheists. Krishna and Narayana are exactly the same person, but there's certain qualities that Narayana never manifests. Just like you can say a person at work, there are certain qualities they never manifest. They just simply don't. Certain ways they act when they're home with their spouse and their children that they just never show up. So we're going to look a little bit at this conundrum that according to our Gaudiya philosophy, the highest level of truth is a kind of illusion. That the ultimate expression of truth is lila, is play. And if we think of what we mean in this world when we say to play, to have a pastime, right? When you're playing something, it's not something serious, isn't it? Like the way children play. Like little Abhimanyu, when he eats, he puts his toys around his plate and says that they're eating with him. Right? Isn't that what we understand by playing? Right? You sit down with your friends or family and you play a game. And somebody's winning, somebody's losing. Right? I was visiting my family in California. I was playing Battleship with my grandsons. And I won. But I wasn't actually blowing up their battleships. It was playing. So we say Krishna has lila, he has krida, he's playing. And yet, that is the highest understanding of truth. So Nanda Maharshi thinks that Krishna is a partial expansion of Narayana. Actually, Krishna Chakravarti versus this also Jiva Goswami says this. Both Jiva and Krishna Chakravarti, they said that when Nanda Maharshi is saying Krishna is an Amsa, he's saying he's a partial expansion. He's an empowered expansion. The residents of Vrindavana, they worship God as Narayana. Especially Krishna's parents, but in general in Vrindavana. They're religious people. They're not atheists. They're engaging in Dharma, even in the spiritual world. We was just the other day again reading the Bhagavad Gita, which tells me it's one of my favorite books. How when Gopakumar goes to the spiritual world, Goloka, he sees it's like the earth. And so they have worship. Says the gopis every morning, they're performing Mangala Arati of Narayana. They offer their food to Narayana. They ask Narayana to protect Krishna. Right? Mother Yasoda puts on the same kapucha on Krishna's wrists in the morning and says, you know, if you get into any trouble while you're in the forest, pray to the Singhdev to help you. Rupa Goswami says, Krishna's trying to suppress a smile. And he says, may that suppressed smile benedict you all. So this is their mood. Yes? And Krishna likes to hide his divinity. I mean, even big, famous people in this world, it's interesting that people like to become famous. It's one of the six opulences. And there are many people, not everybody, some people shun fame and notoriety, but many people aspire to fame. But when people achieve great fame, one of the things they do is hide it. Isn't this a fact? Yes? And people who never hide their fame usually end up with some kind of mental problems, psychological problems. I mean, my family was moderately famous, and when we traveled, my father would use a different last name. So I don't want anybody knowing who we are. And we were just very moderately famous. So, you know, really, really famous people, they go out, they'll put on a wig, they'll put on, you know, a hat and sunglasses, and, right? And they go out under an assumed name. And when famous, important people are with their intimate associates, they want their intimate associates to forget their exalted position. You know, the President of the United States doesn't want his wife and kids to be going, oh, Mr. President, Mr. President. You know, that would be very awkward. And it would decrease the fun. Right? When I'm playing games with my grandchildren, they want to defeat me. They're not being reverential. You understand? They don't say, oh, Grandma, I can't play a game with you. You're my superior. But instead they say, oh, why did you have to win the game?
Okay.
You know, that's their mood. So Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, in the story of Jambavan, that Krishna has all these inclinations of a human being. So Krishna likes to hide his divinity. He also likes to be here as God. He likes to show his divinity. He has many, many Vaikuntha planets where there's unlimited jivas who are saying Om Namah Narayanaya and offering obeisances and worshiping him with awe and reverence. It's not that he doesn't like that too. He likes to be famous. He likes to be worshipped with reverence. He likes to be respected. We also like to be respected. So it's not that he doesn't also like that, but his highest form of enjoyment is, I can relax. I was just hearing Prabhupada tell this story how, you know, the kings would have a jester to insult them. Right? Because everybody's always respecting them. And especially with the king, you know, you're very frightened. This is even true with our modern politicians. You're frightened that if you insult them, you'll lose your position. Isn't it? And it happens. In our country, even if you insult the former president, you can lose your position. Yes? People are terrified. Oh, if I speak the truth, I'll lose. And it happens, actually happens. They speak the truth, okay, now you're thrown out. But that's suffocating. If everyone around you has to flatter you all the time, even when you don't deserve it, you just suffocating. So the kings would keep this jester. Prabhupada talked about this famous king. He had this jester, Gopal Bhan. And one time he said, "Gopal Bhan, what's the difference between you and an ass?" And Gopal Bhan took out a measuring tape and he measured the distance from himself to the king and he said, 3 feet, sir. And Prabhupada was saying in this class, Krishna also likes to keep friends who insult him. This is a sign of intimacy. He said, Krishna likes it, his coward voice. And so with this Govardhan Leela, the coward voice that you did, hold it, Govardhan Hill. How is the mantras and the Brahman Tejas of Madan Mangal that hold it? Prabhupada was saying how, you know, Radharani gets angry at Krishna and Krishna can't go to see her. And he'll go to Radharani's friends. Lalita Vishaka said, please let me in. Prabhupada was explaining, they will say to Krishna, sorry, we have no order from Radharani to let you. I mean, if you think about this for a minute, we're angry. Krishna, when will I see you? When will I see you? When will I see you? And Radharani was saying, I don't want to see you. Get out of here. And the friends said, can you see him? But this is affection. Now, one has to be careful. I once went to a big festival, a big devotee festival, hundreds of devotees from all over the world, and we had very elevated speakers. Bhakti Gyan Maharaj was there, Satyananda Maharaj, Bhakti Tirtha Swami was there, Bhakti Naman. And at the end of the big event, it was over many days, 5-6 days. So this was one of the earliest big devotee festivals that happened in this kind of seminars. So the end, the organizer, who's Irish, and that's important to know. So he had all of us speakers sit up on the stage, and 200, 300 devotees from the audience, from all different countries, that's also important to know, many of them from Asian countries. And so this organizer of the program, you know, at the end, you think you thank everybody, right? And you praise them. And instead of praising each of us speakers, he insulted each of us. I think I was like number 5 to be insulted. And I'm sitting on the stage and he's insulting these great Vaishnavas. And I'm feeling like I just wanted to die. You know, just like, get me out of here. I was stuck. You know, when you're in the audience, you can walk away. But you're on the stage as one of the presenters. It's kind of hard to like stand up off the stage and just walk out. It was a very awkward situation and I'm having to hear him insult these people. And the whole thing was just everybody, you could tell, was so uncomfortable. And later when I spoke to him, I said, oh, you know, you don't insult your speakers in front of all of the participants. He said, well, in Ireland, we show our love by insulting people. I said, everywhere, not only Ireland. He said, not only the Irish who insult people, but that's privately. It's not publicly. So Goloka Vrindavan is actually very private. It's so private that when Gopakumar is in Vaikuntha, nobody knows about it. That even they don't know about Ayodhya. Secretly, Narada is telling him, let's go to Ayodhya. And then secretly he's telling him, let's go to Dwarka. And then even in Dwarka, he has to go to Uddhava's house. And Uddhava and Narada are speaking to him privately. There's another place. And we see this in this planet, that knowledge of this intimacy is very private, it's very secret. In most religious traditions, there's a mystical part of the tradition where people get to understand something about the personality of Godhead. But people in general, it's just God is the Lord, God is the Lord, God is the Lord. He's great, he's great. He's jealous, he's angry, he's punishing. Be afraid of him. Hey, the residents, they're not afraid of Krishna.
I mean, this was said, we have to be careful, but they're not afraid of insulting Krishna. You know, we're very afraid. Oh, I don't want to commit any offense. You know, Prabhupada in this lecture was also telling a story about Krishna. He said Krishna pretended to have a headache. And, you know, he said, the cure is the dust of my devotee's feet on my head. And the devotees said, oh, we'll offend you. But the gopis were like, we don't care. We just want Krishna to be well. But this is very, it's a very private thing. It's a very secret thing. Because people may misunderstand, and they do misunderstand. People take Krishna to be an ordinary person. People think, as Nanda Maharaj is saying, oh, he's an empowered jiva, he's just a shakti, just shakti, that he is, and that they can commit all offenses, or they can take things very cheaply. The sahajiyas are people who take things very cheaply. So people do become confused. Yes, yeah, so therefore it's something very hidden. But to have the greatest amount of bliss, we Gaudiyas assert that Krishna is the supreme because he is Ahila Rasamrita Murti, that he is experiencing the greatest variety of rasa, the greatest variety of tastes, the greatest variety of relationships and pleasures. That's our contention. That's our philosophical a priori assumption, that the greatest manifestation of God has to be he who is having the greatest variety of enjoyment and the greatest intimacy of enjoyment. And my dear friends, one could have a different a priori assumption and say that the greatest manifestation of God is he who has the greatest majesty. And if you start with that assumption, you will say Narayana is God and Krishna is his part. And, my dear friends, you could support that from the Bhagavatam, from a verse like today's verse. And there are devotees who think like that, and that's okay. There are unlimited planets for devotees who think like that. Just like Prabhupada comments in relation to Bhishma, Bhishma knew about the gopis. At the time he was leaving his body, he's asking for the benediction of the gopis to worship the Lord in Vaikuntha. And Prabhupada writes, there's no difference, really. It's a matter of taste. And the reason I'm bringing this up is that we don't want to waste our time in deep philosophical arguments with people. Is Narayana supreme or is Krishna supreme? Or is Ram supreme or is Krishna supreme? So why do we spend time, and Prabhupada does spend time in some purport, giving evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence after evidence that Krishna is supreme? Because we want to have this available to the people. And of course, Srila Prabhupada has done something that no one's ever done before. At least in recent history that we're aware of. I mean, creation is eternal, so I'm sure someone has done it before. But at least in recent recorded history, Srila Prabhupada has taken something which is normally very secret and very private and in the realm of very few because it's misunderstood, and he's had us give it out to people in airports and bus stations and Walmart parking lots. That's amazing. That's really amazing. And Prabhupada's putting that in the Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada's writing in 1865, once you worship Krishna with two hands playing his flute. He's not just doing it in Krishna devotion, he's not just doing it in nectar devotion. I mean, you know, as you go on in Krishna consciousness and you read these books again and again and again, you're like, I can't believe you were giving this out to the public. You know, there I was in O'Hare Airport running after people. Take this book about love of God. You know, when you're reading this and Krishna's
This is the story how Krishna goes to Radharani and she says, "Where are your clothes?" He was supposed to meet her the night before, but he never showed up. He does that. And he shows up in the morning and he says, "Where are your clothes?" And Krishna says, "My residence is in your beautiful eyes." And she says, "I wasn't asking about your residence, I was asking about your clothes." And he says, I've taken on this fragrance just to be near you. And then she gives up. And she said, "Where did you spend the night?" And he says, "How could the night have kidnapped me? That is the nectar devotion. And we're giving it to people, people who were eating meat, people who were taking alcohol or smoking marijuana or whatever, and having their boyfriends, girlfriends, and going to casinos, and we're giving it to these people. And these people read it and join the Hare Krishna movement. And don't have a misunderstanding about Krishna. I would say it's almost impossible, sure it's not possible, but it's almost impossible to read Srila Prabhupada's books and misunderstand the position of Krishna. I suppose if you really want to do it, you could. It's pretty hard. Because Srila Prabhupada is weaving together Tattva and us. And Prabhupada is explaining that the highest manifestation of truth, of tattva, is to be absorbed in Krishna as someone in the village. He's the village boy. He's special. Well, he's special because he's the son of Nandamaraj. So sometimes the residents show him special respect because he's not his son. He's the prince of Raja. But not because he's God. No, it's not that they don't know that he's God. I always give the example of gopis when they're in separation in Rasalila and they're looking for Krishna. They say, "We know you're not the son of Mother Yasoda, you're actually the indwelling witness in everyone's heart." So they know somewhere. But it's not part of their immediate experience. Like, I'm sure when some head of state is with their intimate family members, it's not that their intimate family members don't know that this is the prime minister or the president, but they're not thinking about it at all. It's not part of their awareness. It's way, way, way in the back. So the reason that we are studying Tattva, we followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is to enter into this yoga maya illusion of rasa, where we forget tattva. Isn't that odd? You know, in most spiritual paths, the idea is to come to a position of neutrality, to come to a position where you're just the observer of thoughts and feelings, you're just experiencing peace, oneness. Or some have this idea of going to some heaven where you're serving God in reverence. But the unique thing that we have to offer the world is that higher than neutrality, higher than peace, higher than reverence is the full range of emotions and activities that we experience, and far more than what we experience, but with the perfect person in perfection. Now, it's very interesting in Srimana Shiksha, when Raghunandas Goswami talks about that one can be thinking one is getting clean by bathing in donkey urine, which is pretty much everybody's favorite verse, especially the kids. It's when I teach that verse that everybody buys a book. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary, he's explaining different ways that one can be bathing in donkey urine. What that means is we think we're getting purified, but we're actually getting stinky. This is, at that point in Manushiksha, these are the people who preach about Krishna, whose behavior is excellent, so their achar and sadachar is excellent, but they have an inner hypocrisy.
where what's motivating them internally is not a real desire for God. It's a very difficult kind of hypocrisy to discern and to get rid of. And one of the examples that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives is to be attached to philosophy and not allow your heart to melt. And I would get, in addition to people buying books like crazy when I would teach this particular verse, I also found a lot of people who would argue with me, generally privately after class, and tell me that it wasn't sufficient, it wasn't necessary to root out this inner hypocrisy. All you had to do was preach nicely and have externally nice behavior, and that was enough. That was enough. You didn't have to root out your inner subtle inartness. And I remember one such person who was the temple president at a place that will not be named, and he said, but are we supposed to just be attached to philosophy? We're not supposed to get into the emotional aspects of bhakti, right? We're supposed to just stay on the philosophical platform. And I said, you're covering your bhakti with yam. You're doing yam yoga, you're not doing bhakti yoga. The definition of bhava, what's the definition of bhava given by Rupa Goswami? The heart softens. And the definition of prema, the heart's completely softened. That's the definition. So we are studying tattva to forget tattva. That doesn't mean we totally forget it, because the residents of Vrindavan, they also come to earth as creatures. The six Goswamis are gopis. And as gopis, they say to Krishna, we want to see you. You're, get out of here. And as the Goswamis, they're, hey, Radhe, where are you? And they're preaching the high sattva. Who's preaching the higher sattva than Jiva Goswami? So it's not that they're incapable of preaching tattva, but their inner absorption is rasa. And they are preaching tattva for the purpose of entering into us. So we should always remember that. Yes, we're preachers of philosophy. Yes, we're teachers of philosophy. Yes, we have a wonderful philosophy. But the point isn't to become philosophers. Actually, I was just reading from one Christian author. And he was talking about, and he was mentioning to Mahaprabhu, but he was basically talking about Trinadavis, how to become very humble. Unless you become free from the ability to feel offended, you'll never attain to actual love of God. And he was saying that you know a Christian preacher, a genuine preacher, by their fruits, not by their erudition. Not by their ability to understand and teach doctrine, not by how much they memorize the Bible, but how much they're humble, how much they're forgiving, what is their nature. So beyond that, one really knows a devotee by how much they fall in love with Krishna. And this morning I was hearing Prabhupada saying, the thing that we should be praying for is love. And such an intense, intimate love that we can say, oh, Krishna is so wonderful. He must be empowered by mine. So, questions, comments, additions, instructions, chastisements? Yes?
I'm just going to say one comment. What we really want is love of Krishna, not Krishna.
Yes, what we really want is love of Krishna, not Krishna. Yes?
It's interesting what you were talking about insulting people to create the intimacy.
Yes.
In Indian weddings, when you're making a relationship with, two parties.
Yes.
The boy's side and the girl's side. And when they meet first time at the wedding, they actually call each other's names.
They insult each other.
They insult each other. It's called, gali, which means calling names.
So it's like a ritual.
They actually insult each other. And I mean, I never never figured out what it was until today. That they were trying to create intimacy.
That's how you create. It's one of the ways you create intimacy. If you know you can insult somebody playfully and you don't damage the relationship. If it's a reverential relationship, if I insult you even playfully, the relationship is such. But if it's an intimate relationship, I can playfully insult you and the relationship isn't broken. It's one of the signs of intimacy.
And actually some of them do get insulted in those relationships.
Those are the ones that say. But they were meant to be together.
They were meant to be together. Yes.
I liked it, what you were talking about, distributing books. Because when we were distributing books like state fairs, I remember selling Chaitanya Charitamritas to like 25-year-old farmer housewives from, you know, Iowa.
Right.
And who knows if they ever read it, but they may have given it to somebody.
We were distributing Anjalila.
Anjalila, yeah.